Your County, bringing you the latest from North Yorkshire County Council on DAB every Sunday afternoon from 1. And listen again at strayfm.com. For more information, visit northyorks.gov.uk.
Welcome to this week's Your County on Stray FM. I'm Patrick Dunlop.
And I'm Lisa Dalville.
And coming up on the show, how North Yorkshire could benefit from the Tour de Yorkshire. Also, an update on work to repair Tadcaster Bridge.
And we look at short break fostering.
Your County with North Yorkshire County Council.
Thousands of people have turned out to watch the second Tour de Yorkshire, and the cycle race, which started in Beverley and ends in Scarborough, is expected to boost many businesses across the region.
Well, we've been finding out more from County Councillor Don McKenzie, who also gives us an update on work to repair Tadcaster Bridge.
Clearly, a race such as this brings lots and lots of visitors to the county and to the district. Which is very good. Visitors who will come and not just watch cycle race, but also spend money. So, yes, we expect the economic benefit to be very good. And the estimates are that well over a million visitors will come to watch the race on all 3 days.
And apart from anything, although North Yorkshire is a popular place to come anyway as a holiday or just to visit, hopefully it'll encourage more people who haven't been before to come and see what's here.
It will. A major factor is, of course, that this is televised internationally, exactly as last year's was. I think an ITV channel is filming the whole race, which is excellent, and that gets beamed out to many countries in Europe and beyond. And clearly it will showcase North Yorkshire for the fabulous place that it is to come and visit. Whether you want to come visit to see a cycle race or simply come and visit to look at the magnificent scenery which will be on view. Either way, it's good for the county.
Looking ahead to next year, Harrogate's actually going to play a big part in the Tour de Yorkshire next year, isn't it?
It is. I'm very pleased to hear that Harrogate Borough Council want to play a major part in next year's race. Whether that will be to stage the commencement of a day's race or the completion of it, I'm not too sure what decision will be taken as far as that's concerned. But clearly, as we showed during the Tour de France, the completion of the day's racing to be held in Harrogate is magnificent because we have the facilities here. We have the Stray, a huge public space on which people can come and gather to watch the race and do all the other things associated with such a spectacular event.
And I suppose you could argue that the Tour de France is probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest event Harrogate has ever had to host. So anything smaller than that should be fairly easy compared to that.
It should. The Tour de France, yes, I'm told, is the largest spectator event that's televised anywhere in the world, which is magnificent. The Tour de Yorkshire is increasingly being recognised as a major cycling event in Europe. It's becoming very popular for all sorts of reasons, including the magnificent scenery that we can provide, and including even wintry weather for those who are not used to it. But yes, an extremely good place in which to hold such an event.
Just thinking about the Tour de Yorkshire preparations, we talked recently about the work at Dibbles Bridge, improving safety there. A couple of people since that happened have commented that it's a shame it's taken for a cycle race to come through for it to be repaired. But obviously, there's more to it than that, isn't there?
Yes, the amendments to Dibbles Bridge, the safety measures we've taken, were always going to happen. We actually had to bring them forward in this particular case to make sure they were completed by the time the Tour de Yorkshire went through. But Tour de Yorkshire or no Tour de Yorkshire, those improvements to Dibbles Bridge were going to happen.
OK, and staying with bridges, moving on to Tadcaster Bridge, just give us an update on what's happening there.
Yes, local residents have been concerned that they haven't seen much work going on at the bridge. But as I explained before, a great deal of work has been going on in the background. But in order to counter those fears, we have taken some steps now, additional steps, to make sure that local residents are aware of what's going on. We have placed an ongoing storyboard on the hoarding at the site that's being repaired, and this will show all the work that has taken place and is due to take place. And as the work progresses, additional panels will be added week by week to show the work that's being carried out. In addition to that, a local commercial shop, the Ink Shop in Bridge Street, has kindly agreed to allow North Yorkshire County Council to have its window in which to put a television that will display a series of web pages carrying details of the work and the latest updates. And also, we are going to be asking an highways officer to make an appearance on the bridge three times a week between 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock. That's on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays, to answer questions from members of the public as to how the work is progressing, and that that officer will be available to speak to between 1 and 3, Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, each week after Bank Holiday Monday.
And are you pleased with progress so far at Tancaster Bridge?
Yes, every indication is that work is well underway. Preparatory work. We've had to study geotechnical surveys to make sure that we understand why the bridge came down in the first place and to ensure it will not happen again. We are sourcing stone in order to make the repair with a similar, if possible, identical, but certainly similar stone in order to rebuild it. It is, after all, a Grade 2 listed 18th century bridge. So all of that is happening, and to the best of my knowledge, we're still due to finish on budget and on time by the end of this year.
Your county. For more information, visit northyorks.gov.uk.
I can understand why people might be apprehensive about fostering, but when they first come to your home and they're so frightened, you realise that they just need someone to look after them.
We've been fostering for almost 30 years. It's enormously satisfying to see youngsters move on and forward. It's so rewarding to see them blossom into young adults.
People think of teenagers as being so challenging. They try to look and act much older than they are, but they're still a child underneath. It's giving them the time and chance to be themselves. That's what makes the difference. And I always feel so held by the fostering team and find it an absolute privilege and delight to be working alongside such outstanding people.
At Fostering North Yorkshire, we need people to offer vulnerable children a safe and stable home. We're particularly keen to hear from people who could care for a teenager or offer regular short-term care to a disabled child. Could you choose fostering and change a life? To book a place at an information event, see northyorks.gov.uk/fostering or ring 01609 534 654.
Your county is brought to you by North Yorkshire County Council, keeping you up to date with the latest from across North Yorkshire.
Next up, do you want a rewarding career making a positive difference to the lives of others? Whether you're already working in a care role, looking for a new career, or wanting to give something back to the community, the County Council may have what you're looking for. It's recruiting for care and support roles in the Harrogate, Ripon, Knaresborough and Boroughbridge areas. Various hours and roles are available, ranging from part-time to full-time hours. You can find out more and apply by visiting nyccjobs.co.uk.
Meanwhile, the County Council is also looking for more people to become short-break foster carers. Hilary Griffiths is from the fostering team.
Short-break fostering is how it works, is that we recruit families who can help support other families looking after their own disabled children. And that support can be daytime support or overnight support in their own homes. And it differs from normal fostering because the child doesn't actually live with you. So the foster carers bring the disabled child into their own home and look after them. It's very much helping the whole family, really. Looking after your own disabled child has its challenges, and the parents may need some time to look after themselves or look after their other children, relaxing time. But equally, the disabled child, it gives the disabled child new activities, new opportunities really to meet other people and build up their own confidence and independence away from their own families.
I suppose it may be hard sometimes to just go out and do things like shopping, go on a night out, that sort of thing.
Absolutely, yes, yes. It's very much about supporting the whole family. So short breaks carers build up a really good relationship with the families of disabled children, the disabled child, and that can be a long-term relationship, really, that develops over many months. And it allows the parents to be able to go out and do their own shopping and as I say, spend a bit of time with their other children, perhaps.
So how often and for how long would people offer these short breaks?
Well, it can be. We ask for people to offer a minimum of 24 nights a year. And that could be a share between two families, really, two children with disabilities coming in and spending a weekend. But that's the minimum. It can be, you know, up to 50 nights a year. We'd also are looking for families that can offer support to children who are profoundly disabled and actually need wheelchair access to accommodation. And we're asking for those particular carers who can provide that, offering a minimum of 100 nights a year.
Now, looking at the children more specifically, what types of disability will they have generally?
Generally, children may have learning or physical disabilities. Some have both. Children with and young people with learning disabilities will maybe need support with all sorts of daytime activities. They may need support with communication, may need support with mobility. And as I say, some may use wheelchairs and other equipment to help them get about.
Now, a lot of people listening to this will be wondering, am I the right sort of person to offer this this short break care? Who can do it?
Absolutely. I think if you're interested in working with children and families, that's a really good start. If you've got experience of working with disabled children, maybe working in a special school or a hospital or other care setting, that would be great. It's not essential. We provide, in Fostering North Yorkshire, we provide our own training. It's always helpful if you've got a bit of experience, but that's not absolutely necessary. And good carers come from all sorts of backgrounds. If people are prepared to have adaptations, as I say, to their own properties that Fostering North Yorkshire pay for, so that helps children and their families who have profound disabilities and need ground floor accommodation, again, that would be really good.
And do you ideally need as many people as possible in all the different parts of North Yorkshire?
We do. We particularly need people who own their own accommodation, actually, and have are willing to have their property adapted, particularly in Northallerton and Harrogate areas and Craven areas, but also over in Scarborough as well. For those who are offering short breaks where we don't need to adapt their property, then it is all parts of the county, really. We'd be more than happy for anyone across the county to give us a call and discuss further.
Okay, and if anyone does decide to sign up as a short breaks carer, how will Fostering North Yorkshire support them?
Okay, well, we have an excellent training programme that we devise. We have our own training department, and alongside our colleagues in the Disabled Children's Services, we ensure that the right sort of training is available to our short breaks carers. We also provide a fostering social worker who supports the short breaks family throughout, and we have support groups as well, so you get to meet other people either that do short break fostering and also other foster carers that offer other sorts of support to families.
Okay, so if anyone would like to find out more about this, what's the easiest way to do that?
Well, I think the easiest way is we do have a Fostering North Yorkshire website, that's www.northyorks.gov.uk/fostering, but also you could contact us direct and speak to a fostering social worker on 01609 534654.
Your county with North Yorkshire County Council.
Got the motorbike you've always dreamed of? Got all the gear to match? Looking forward to riding down those long winding roads? Got the precision to handle corners at high speeds?
Bikers, be realistic about your own abilities. Do your skills match the way you want to ride your bike? You'll find tips and advice on everything from cornering safely to bike maintenance and even maps of popular North Yorkshire biker routes. Have fun, but stay safe. Just be aware of the risks. A message brought to you by roadwise.co.uk.
Your County is brought to you by North Yorkshire County Council, keeping you up to date with the latest from across North Yorkshire.
Now, have you ever considered who would make important decisions on your behalf if you became ill? It's not necessarily something we want to think about, but the County Council is urging everyone to be prepared. Here's Care Services Manager Sylvie Barrett.
Well, Mental Capacity Act is the legal framework for decision making in England and Wales, and broadly, it's sort of broken into two parts. One is giving us opportunities to plan ahead about how decisions might be made for ourselves should we lack capacity in the future. And the other part is if you haven't put any arrangements in place, how decisions would be made on your behalf. It's really uncomfortable, isn't it, to think that we might be very vulnerable in the future. But there's often a common misnomer that people who are next of kin for somebody has some kind of legal authority to make decisions over their spouses or their adult children's affairs. And actually, that's just not true.
And you're particularly keen to highlight the lasting powers of attorney. Just explain a bit more about that.
Yeah, it really is an opportunity to plan in advance how certain decisions can be made on your behalf should at some point you're not able to do so. Now, there are two types of lasting power of attorney. One is for health and welfare decisions, and the other are for finance and property decisions. Now, the reason I think it's really important for people to consider doing these is that without them, friends and family may have to organise things for you on your behalf, and it can prove to be a much more expensive, time-consuming and difficult task at a time when actually it's already difficult for them too because of what's happening for yourself. So simple things like drawing money from a bank account, let alone selling shares or a house, can become really problematic. So it's a way of thinking about what kind of decisions you want to be made, by whom, and how do you want it to look for yourself, as it were. And you've got some control over what you delegate to them. So when you put in a lasting power of attorney, you can actually put in restrictions and conditions that they have to abide by. So I say there are two types. One is health and welfare. And so that covers things like what kind of daily routine would you like, what kind of healthcare works or doesn't work for you, what kind of living arrangements might be right for you. So some of these are really big decisions, some of them are quite small, but actually really important. So I'll just give you a couple of examples around myself, for example. It might be a decision about, you know, dressing. So If someone went out because I was getting shorter clothes and bought me a whole pile of pink dresses that were very lacy, I would die a thousand deaths because that's just not the kind of person I am, and I've never worn clothes like that. So someone who knows me well would know the kind of things that I would be comfortable in. They would also know in terms of choices of food that actually I'm really not a great salad eater. And if I wanted to celebrate a birthday or something, a really good curry is what I would like. Likewise with healthcare conditions, I'm actually quite phobic about going to the dentist, particularly around having fillings. So they would know that and would know that actually rather than offering me a fill-in, I would either rather have painkillers or to have the tooth removed. That's the kind of decision I would make for myself, and someone who I appointed as my lasting power of attorney would know that and so make a similar decision on my behalf.
So it's reassurance then for both sides, isn't it then, really?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's about someone who knows you really well, who knows the kind of decisions that you would have made when you had capacity, what was important to you, how you like things done, and it enables them to be able to make those decisions on your behalf and much more easily be able to do them.
And then there's the other aspect, which is the finances, which are really important to have in order.
Yeah, so, you know, for someone to be able to manage your money and bills, to look at your savings in banks and building societies, to look at your property investments, and also have control over your benefits, that the property and fares LPA would need to be in place. Clearly choosing the right person is important. So again, a personal example, I have two sisters. My elder sister is incredibly organised and does administrative things extremely well and understands finances far better than I do, and she would make a great LPA finance and property. But I'd actually want my younger sister to be my health and welfare LPA. She's both a nurse, but she also understands how I work, you know, in terms of being much more laid back about things and what's important to me and what's not so important to me. So by choosing them that way round, I definitely get the kind of care that, you know, that will be delivered, or the decision making delivered in the way that I would wish.
Okay, that's great. Well, hopefully this is encouraged a few people to at least think about this issue. So how can they find out more information about this sort of thing?
Okay. Well, there are three ways of applying. One is obviously through a solicitor, which is the traditional way of doing it. But obviously that can be relatively expensive. But more recently, there is now both an online tool or opportunity to download information from the Office of Public Guardian. And through that process, it's now much cheaper to put in place the LPAs. The process would be that you complete each individual document, so one for finance and property, one for health and welfare, and actually leave, you know, lodge them with the Office of Public Guardian. And it's only when you lack capacity to make the decisions do you need to actually pay to register them, and they would be £110 each to do that. So to get more information about it, the government website is www.gov.uk/power-of-attorney/overview. And helpfully, which have also recently published what is a free booklet called An Introduction to Power of Attorney. And you can get your free copy by phoning 01992 822 828. The benefits are that you're aware of who and what decisions will be made on your behalf. It's cost effective. You only pay when the document's registered, and it better supports those loved ones around you by helping them understand what you want and making it easier for them to do it. So my view is get it done and then forget about it and go live life.
Your County, bringing you the latest from North Yorkshire County Council on DAB every Sunday afternoon from 1, and listen again at strayfm.com. For more information, visit northyorks.gov.uk.
Just a reminder that the North Yorkshire Police and Crime Commissioner election is taking place on the 5th of May. The commissioners elected by the public to ensure the policing needs of communities are met as effectively as possible and to oversee how crime is tackled. If you're voting by post, you should already have received your voting papers.
Well, a couple of other events to let you know about. Ripon Library is celebrating Local and Community History Month by hosting a fair on Thursday the 19th of May from 10:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. The sixth annual event will include stalls from local societies and history groups, as well as talks throughout the day. There will also be representatives from North Yorkshire's County Record Office and Ripon Museums Trust. You can get more information by calling 01609 53 6623 or emailing ripon.library@northyorks.gov.uk.
Meanwhile, there's an Archives at Dusk event at the County Record Office on Thursday the 12th of May from 6 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. Well, it's part of the National Museums at Night Festival, which aims to inspire new visitors to discover the fascinating heritage on their doorstep. Well, this year we'll look at North Yorkshire's historic homes and gardens, both large and small. You can also see what life was like for the homeless in Victorian North Yorkshire and how the county met the challenge of the post-war housing crisis. Well, admission is free and free parking is available on site and nearby.
Your County is brought to you by North Yorkshire County Council, keeping you up to date with the latest from across North Yorkshire.